May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So, every now and then at my house, especially after we've had several funerals here at St. Mark's, I will, over evening dinner, talk with my family about what I've been thinking about in terms of what hymns they should play at my funeral. I like Now the Green Blade Riseth, that wonderful, wonderful verse, love is coming again like wheat that springeth green. I've already told my husband he is to sing that one at my funeral. And I was very clear about which burial prayers I want, because I love that prayer in which we commend the departed to God, like a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. I love those words. My family finds this strange. Apparently, other people don't talk about their funeral over family dinners. I often will tell people, who usually are giving me the look you guys are giving me right now, that it's an occupational hazard. It's the sort of thing that happens in priests' families, because when you spend time officiating other people's funerals, you spend time thinking about what you would want your funeral to be like, how you want to leave your family and friends behind, what you want them to draw comfort from. I suppose a lot of people would call that one of the burdens of ministry. Since most of us in this culture try to avoid having these kinds of conversations and consider them morbid and uncomfortable, but I actually consider it one of the great blessings of my calling, because I find it a deep and profound blessing that on a regular basis I am forced to remember that we are all dust, and to dust we shall return. I find it an enormous blessing that regularly and repeatedly and over again I am reminded that no matter what I get right or what I get wrong, no matter what kinds of effort I pour into it, the day will come when I meet my Maker, when I come home to my Creator. And that is a blessing because it reminds me that I am dependent on God. That no matter how hard I try, no matter what other efforts I offer, I am, at the end of the day, like all of you, utterly and completely dependent on the grace of God. When I was in college, my favorite novel was a fantasy story called Magic's Pawn, part of the Last Herald Mage series. Jenny's smiling. I think she might have read it too. And one of the passages that I like is after one of the main characters has undergone this terrible tragedy and has tried to kill himself, and his family is desperately trying to save him and they don't know if they can, his mentor, his friend, finds herself praying. And this is this little passage. Seville, the mentor, stood beside the garden door with one hand on the frame and prayed. She didn't pray often. Most heralds didn't. Praying usually meant asking for something. And the kind of person who became a herald tended to be the kind that didn't look outside of himself for help until the last hope had been exhausted. That always resonated with me because I was that kind of person. I still am, really. Prayer is something that I tend to automatically and instinctively turn to only when I have run out of other options. Only when I realize that nothing I do can fix the situation. And especially when I was younger, that meant I didn't pray very often. I need reminding withdrawal on a pretty regular basis in order to remember to pray. And that is a great blessing and a great gift that I get those reminders. Because it turns out, being sort of person who is self-sufficient and can do it all themselves and only prays when all other options have been exhausted, means you don't get to live into the richness of the relationship God has for us. It means that most of the time, God is waiting for you and you're nowhere to be found. Indeed, it's only when I began to understand that praying was for every day and all the time that I began to really enter into the kind of deep and ongoing relationship to God that has so enriched my life and brought me such joy and rooted me deeply in God, the trust of God and God's gracious mercy. And doing that begins, for me, with realizing that none of this is ever going to be fully within my control. That in the end, I am completely and utterly dependent on God's grace. And there is nothing like Ash Wednesday and that reminder of that mortality. That reminder that no matter what I do, sooner or later, I am going to come to my Creator. That is the deep blessing that reminds me that I am always dependent on God. And that God is always there and eager and ready to be with me, filled with that mercy and that grace. During our Lenten season, we are going to be inviting you and everybody in Wexford, if they care to join us, in a conversation about what happens at the end of life. What are our own wishes? How do we have these conversations with the people we love? It sounds like a very morbid thing to do in Lent, to dwell on death. But it is that reminder that we are mortal and that we do eventually all come to that place in which we are dependent on God's grace and mercy. And it is very appropriate during Lent. Because in Lent, we are also reminded that that's not the end of the story. As we journey through Lent, we are heading somewhere. We are heading for Easter. Death indeed may be a reality that we cannot escape, but we are journeying towards that reminder and that promise that so is resurrection. That if death is real, resurrection is also real. There's a reason why all those hymns I tell my family to sing at my funeral are Easter hymns. It's because we know, as Christians, that while death may be a reality, death does not mean life is ended. It means that it changes. It means that we come finally into the fullness of God's mercy and grace. It means that while one thing has ended, another is reborn. That if we have been buried with Christ in baptism, we will also be raised with him. We are Easter people. And if that means we walk through life with those reminders that we are utterly dependent on God, we do so with the sure and certain assurance that God will not fail us, that our trust in God is well placed, that God's power is greater even than death, and that if death is real, so is resurrection. So is the promise of eternal life that has been made to us in the cross and on Easter morning. We do not dwell on death as people who do not have hope, as Paul says. We recognize death and we confront death knowing that it is a sign of our dependence on God. But we do it knowing that that dependence is holy and gracious and filled with mercy, and that we will be raised as well. We live with the reality of death because in it we know the truth of eternal life. So, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return. All of these are reminders that none of us is sufficient. None of us escapes those realities. All of us is dependent upon God. And we can talk about that. We can name that. We can say that out loud. Because we also know the resurrection is real, and Easter is coming. Amen.